You'd be surprised at how many people go into Boots and haven't got a clue about product. So they just pick something up because, okay, it's cheaper. Yeah. But is it going to do what you want it to do?
We are professionals. We do know what we're talking about. To have that product range that can then back that up, it's, you know, it goes hand in hand.
You know, you put the product in front of someone, and I like to walk away from my client. So he goes and picks it up. If you're just putting it in your finger and rubbing it in their hair and say, thank you very much, the hair looks great, guys generally won't reach out too much about asking.
People going more down that route of going to the studios and things like that and going out on their own and just doing it on their own. I personally don't think I could ever do that. I really like being part of the team and having that banter between people and the community of it.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi there, I'm Anthony Laban. Welcome to another episode of the Noble Barber Podcast. We are back for part two at Diligence in Guildford. I'm with Tom and Finn. Welcome back, chaps. Thank you very much. Good first half. I like that. I did shout out this morning for some questions, and I've got a question from Baldy.
Yeah.
And Baldy's just asking, how long does it take you to get the shop fit money back? How long do you reckon it took or has taken, or are you there yet to get this refit money?
So we had a plan.
Back in the till.
So back in the till, I mean, it's definitely gone back in the till, but we had a plan to pay back the loan that I was given from my investor. So we actually are paying that back over an 18-month period.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so yeah, we're pretty much...
So you're almost there.
We're pretty much almost there.
18 months, mate. There you go.
Yeah,
if you do well. If you got it set up.
We covered a lot of business there, and I hope we covered as much. I certainly covered all the questions I had in my head. But the thing that, as you come in this building, both Luke and I wandered in and went, gosh, smells nice in here. And then your lovely apprentice, what was his name?
Reese.
Little apprentice.
Yeah.
I did use that one first because he towered over me.
It's huge.
Taught me through the product, started opening up bottles. And I really liked that approach that both Luke and I stood there obediently listening as he opened bottles and sniffed this and really got us kind of interacting with the range really quickly.
That's good.
And one of the other points that every barbershop I go into is, we don't do a lot of retail, or retail's not a big bit. And then I talked to educators, we had Sid just go out last week, who kind of, points out that, you can double the price of your haircut by the guy leaving with a couple of products.
That's it.
I've spouted this statement many, many times, but the main reason in survey, the main reason why guys don't return to a barbershop is they can't recreate the haircut at home. So they don't think the barber's very good. They go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it all leads back to this product. And everyone seems to have kind of either really succeeded or failed miserably and just has a few bottles on the side and essentially uses up their own stock in their day-to-day. It does smell great. You're using, your product range that you've got your association to. But is that something, again, when your guys are freelance or consultants, that you educate them at their products?
Yeah,
do you keep
course.
That at their core? Because you must be doing some retail in this shop, surely.
We are doing great.
We do.
I mean, Finn will touch on it too in a minute, where we actually, we make sure that everybody has the books at home, so everyone takes the books home. But we also hold product nights.
Mm.
Finn holds them. And we also have 80 products, so 80 different products. And when we got the product company, we wanted to house everything. We didn't want to outsource, and we wanted it all to be one brand. Just the same. So it all looked great, firstly. And also, so you're not, trying to sell different things and getting it from different places when you're trying to get it in. But Finn holds, product evenings as well as myself.
Well, it's good.
Do they take it? Are they interested?
Yeah, I mean, well, tomorrow morning, I don't know whether you ever heard, I was talking to Reese on the way out. He's coming in early tomorrow with one of the other lads, and I'm walking them through how we do the facials. So we do men's facial services here. So we've got a few different ones on the booking system. And again, that's using all of Depot's range. So they've got everything from the shampoos and conditioners all the way through to skincare. And as you say, the smells, the candles, the reed diffusers, all that sort of thing. So, I mean, they've got great men's skincare range, all, you know, tailored to men and specific sort of things.
Which is something we found, you know, very important to have something that covered everything, especially with what we're trying to do. We're not just trying to do your hair or do, you know, we want to give you a skin product. We want to give you a shower gel. We want to give you, you know, something for your scalp issues.
Yeah.
It could be anything. So, you know, we use a product band, Depot Male Tools, who are based in Italy, who work very close with. We've been there a number of times.
But again, it's a product range that no one's heard of. So you're educating, you're having to educate your clients straight away. Presumably the first thing they all say is, I've never heard of them.
Yeah. But as soon as we use, I mean, every styling product has an amazing smell to it. I mean, the detail that Depot, you know, that the team behind Depot have gone into to put these products together, there's no point in me trying to bring out my own products ever.
No.
You know, what we do with that product and how good that product is, you know, it's incredible. It's and it is, like you said, when someone's going home and they're not being able to do their hair themselves and things like that, product every person should really take it away if they like doing their hair. You know, as long as the product's affordable, I understand why some people won't want to. And if your students aren't buying products, give them a discount.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I mean, I was just
I've been looking at this. I've dug out some figures that
that's amazing.
You know, global men's grooming market now is 10 billion in 2023 in the UK. Social media interaction for men's grooming products is up through the roof.
Exactly.
An interesting point that came up was we now have a population that's changing. So we've got a decreasing under 16s. We've got much less young people being born and growing through for the first time in a long, long time.
Okay.
And an ever-growing over 65 population.
Right.
Yeah. And so there's this huge uplift in anti-aging products. You know, you can see, you know, Luke often talks to me about these guys who are trying to turn back the clock and stay young forever. I think he's having a pop. As I've said that, I'm like, hang on a minute.
You need some Depot product.
But you're seeing this kind of, is that part of the change that guys feel okay about?
I think my jaw's
got, you know, moisturizer, I've got the old under gel, I've got this. You know, we bought, you know, guys now, even of my age, that buy more than just deodorant.
I think what it is is guys are more open, obviously, to say they want it or do it. What I don't think is the easiest part of it is that guys are not confident to go somewhere to get that. It's not made simple. You know, before I was using Depot range and, you know, and just a few of the men's ranges that are out now, I've always been interested. I've been a hairdresser, so I'm a bit more in touch with that side of it, I'd like to think. But, you know, we make it very simple. You know, the products are very simple in the Depot range. Whereas if you're a guy and you didn't know that, or you didn't have it to offer it in the salon, you would have to go into a Space NK or a place that sells cream. And there's very technical names on these things, and guys get shook and scared and they don't know enough about it. But if you've got one of ours, it's called a hangover face gel. Cool name. You know, guys want to know, hangover face gel, they want to know more.
I mean, we're sitting here, I'm looking out your window and I'm looking straight across the road to Boots.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, you know, I'm old enough to go back 20 years and you know, there was not a men's section in Boots.
That's true.
And you know, men use their wife's or girlfriend's shampoo a bottle of Head and Shoulders and maybe a bit of roll-on deodorant and that was it.
It's
and
got then more specific now.
But you're fighting out with, you know, an expensive, you know, 20-odd pound product range for a styling product across the road from Boots. And again, a lot of the things I hear is, oh, you know, they're going to go and buy something for Boots for £4.
But is it much cheaper?
I'm not sure it's that much cheaper.
It's not that much cheaper. We go, you know, we see it every day over there in Boots, which is great to be next to, by the way, for the traffic. But it's not as much cheaper anymore. No. Everything's expensive.
Yeah.
So if you're paying that slight bit more for somebody that's, you know, we've told you how to use it, the smell of it's great, and you're paying £2 more less over the road, why would you do that?
I think it's also a lot easier how we have it here.
I
go in there every day, and even I would get a bit overwhelmed at like where things are, what things are.
Yeah.
Whereas here, but you've got it all in front of you.
You do go in there, that's so true.
You know, someone's explaining it to you. You know, we are professionals and we do know what we're talking about. Mm. So to have that product range that can then back that up, it's, you know,
and
goes hand in hand.
You'd be surprised at how many people go into Boots and haven't got a clue about product.
No.
So they just pick something up because, okay, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
But is it going to do what you want it to do?
No.
So if you're paying two quid,
I did read some of the guys now that most guys buy their skincare, and we are buying it, but they 100%. Buy it on the branding.
Things like
Bulldog is a big seller for Boots. Because they've got their kind of masculine right. They've
exactly. They don't care what it
says. I've no idea what's inside the bottle. I've no idea at all. So there is that openness to it. So I guess the next bit is getting your barbers, your guys, to be able to recommend.
That's
and sell it.
That's it.
You know, it comes down to you guys, you know, your barbers recommending it, your clients asking for it. How have you got through that?
So we do awareness, obviously, on the product too. So what we try and do is we start with the guys, right? So me and Finn, we go over to Depo, which is in Italy, and we learn and we find out more about it. So we have a deeper understanding. We're always talking about it and we're using it a lot. So that's one thing, to know the knowledge yourself and to be able to tell your team about it. So what we do is we do product nights and product days or product evenings. So the guys can learn and know about it. And then they feel more comfortable and then they start pushing on.
Yeah.
We also have product commission for the team. So if you're selling product, you make commission, which is obviously a good push.
Yeah.
But we also do competitions. I do competitions between the team. So today, boys, you know, let's sell 5 products each. Who's going to sell 6? Or if you sell 6, you take a product home.
Yeah.
Things like that. So we're getting them invested in that
way. And again, do your figures that they get, do that include some resale?
So
if you've
got
to do X amount of money a week.
Yeah, so what, on the targets your and things targets. Like that? Yeah. That is included. So we're trying to, what is it? It's about 20% or 25% turnover?
It's about looking at trying to sell 3-4 products a day.
Yeah.
I mean, which isn't impossible, you know, when you're doing 15 people a day. And like you said, you know, trying to have somebody recreate what you do in the salon for them and not take the product is ludicrous, really. Realistically, if you think about it.
And are you giving coaching to your team about how to talk
how
about
to
the product?
It, how to use it.
You know, knowing it's got...
Yes.
Yeah, so knowing it's got this scent in or whatever.
So if I see one of my team go into the product cupboard and do that with it and then put it back in and walk off with a clobber there, I will embarrass you in front of everyone.
Right.
Because it's about talking about what you're using.
Yeah.
And I always...
Give the guy the tin. So
I also tell the person, you know, this is learned from Tony and Guy days. You know, you put the product in front of someone and I like to walk away from my client. So he goes and picks it up and has a look at it. You know, if you're just putting it in your finger and rubbing it in their hair and say, thank you very much, the hair looks great. Mm. You know, guys genuinely won't reach out too much about asking too much. But if you tell them and advise them, smell that every time.
Yeah.
Every time, smell that. Have a look at it.
You are talking about the product.
Smell that. Do you know what I mean? Give that a go. And it works.
I'm sorry, I'm really nailing you guys with product.
No, we like it.
With it's numbers good. Today. But you're saying that you're doing, say, 1,200 appointments a month.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you're doing 1,200 appointments a month, are you doing 300 or 400 units of products a month?
A month, what, between all of us?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah, near enough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the figures
off
that. Yeah,
off
I mean,
the top of our heads. Yeah,
yeah,
but
we're doing it's good. Because the great thing about Depo is, you know, there's 80. So, you know, in a lot of salons you have, oh, I bought that last time.
Mm.
Oh, are you going on holiday? But let's give you a body wash.
Sorry, I've got all these different conversations I've had bunning around my head. Do you think, because I've spoken to a lot of the product companies that whoever's listening, if you think about the kind of 3 or 4 product companies you know, all of them are trying to get people to sell more product.
Mm. Yeah.
What do they need to do to get companies working like you? Most barbers to be able to sell 100 units of product a week would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it start with kind of having a product you really believe in, or do they need to come
they
and work
visit,
with
they,
you
are
more?
Are they visiting them?
Yeah.
Are they looking after you as well? Are they coming
more than a sales rep?
Yeah, more than a sales rep. Yeah. Somebody that is showing you yeah. how the product. I mean, we've got Luca Marinatti. He's amazing. He's come over twice this in the past year.
So to kind of infect your team.
Yeah,
with
so they have a team. The product company has a team which I also educate for. Right. I go around as well doing the same thing now. So I was on stage last week in Finland talking on stage for 4 hours where I was doing two haircuts. But they want to know about the product, and they had five people from the 60 people that were in you know, making orders for their. So, but that was because Now Depot, they go to these places, they educate people about the product. And I think what sales reps are doing is dropping in saying, you use this, use that. And it's a quick hire and buy. And you look at the product, it's great.
We've got an offer on this, buy four.
But that's not enough. Mm. You know, are they teaching you? Are they doing these nights? Or they come in and it comes back to taking care of you as well. Mm. And then you build relationships. It's about relationships.
Yeah, I do think, because I've had this conversation with a few of the bigger companies and they spend eye-watering money doing a brochure, a new global brochure, and a new collection and that kind of stuff.
It's not enough.
And I don't know if it resonates. It doesn't resonate with me and mine, to be honest with
you. We've been approached by how many? Loads. 10, 15 come through the door. Always, you know, have you done this? I'm not interested because I know that we've had that where we used to work and all they want you to do is buy product. Mm. That's it. And the sales reps only care about their figure probably at the end of the day. But
so do you think the big company, and we know the brands we're talking about, you know, do you think those big companies don't have that those people to actually come out and share the passion?
I don't think so.
I've never seen it myself. Mm. I've never seen it until I started working with Depot. No. I mean, as soon as we took Depot on, they invite us out there straight away, paid for.
And so how did Depot come into your kind of spectrum? So I've never heard of it.
When I was looking at designing the shop, there was a concept store made and it was, I can't remember off the top of my head where it was, but it was one of the European countries and it was done for a photo shoot that was working with Sivak and Partners, which was a design company.
Right.
So somebody obviously did a photo shoot. They wanted a salon and it was very, very cool. Mm. They actually had this product in the back of the photo. And when I was making my mood board a couple of years ago, I see it and I was like, I didn't even know. But you know, when things come to you, I saw it and it looked incredible. So I zoomed in and I saw it and it was a men's brand anyway, a men's barber. So I knew it must be a men's brand. I found it. I reached out to them. And because they are protective about their ethos and what they want, it took me about a year of negotiations to actually get this brand in. And I didn't give up, did I?
No.
I did not give up. I didn't want anyone else. I didn't want it. I wanted it to look good and pretty. And that is how it came into my time from a picture of Pinterest. But then when I started to learn a bit more about them, they sent me a beautiful box of product. And it was amazing. We was all using it. And then from there, they came over and was we right for them? And while we write, you know, were we right to sell the product?
Yeah.
And then it started building on and on and on. And then we actually, you know, were invited over there. And we spoke about, you know, our future, what we wanted to do and things like that. And then we went over again.
But you
and
think
again.
It's come from a product that you enjoy working with, want to work with. Sure.
It's incredible.
And that then spreads through rather than, you know, we're selling this.
That's it, yeah.
We're selling,
I think that's exactly what most barbershops
do. So when we do our product evenings, you know, think and speak a bit more on it, you know, we invite people to learn about this stuff and know about this stuff and it is an incredible, incredible brand. I've worked in the industry for 20 years and I've never seen nothing like it. Just down to the detail of what they're doing, the smells and the variety. You know, when we had people come in.
We did a few months ago. We had a Depot product night here. We closed up early. We'd put on a real sort of event. We had, you know, everyone come down, invite all the clients down to, you know, try different services that we offer, like the facial services. We were talking through all the products and trying to get really people involved in more the lifestyle brand of it all. I mean, I use all of it, you know, the shampoo and conditioner, but it's then passing
that
on
to... What are you, 53?
Well, yeah, I know.
I'm sitting here like baby face. Like, oh yeah, I use all this face gel.
That's it. But it's, you know, it's trying to get people invested in the brand and love it as much as we do. And it is, you know, through putting those events on and talking about the product in the salon.
People want to know.
You know, people do want to know. And I've got people who
they collect it now.
They collect it.
It becomes it becomes a collectible. So, you know, guys have just had this. They're like, what else you got for me? What else? And we've got, I mean, so many. One of Finn's clients is crazy for
it. He loves
it. I mean,
it.
What else you got? I haven't smelt that one. You know, there's seven different scents across it.
Yeah. I mean, there are those brands, and it does. You come in and you look at that, and it looks like it should go on a, you know, you'd see that in your hotel bathroom.
Yeah, of course.
You know, you'll get a few like Murdoch's, I always think looks immaculate when it's out.
Very cool,
you know, Fawcett's always looks the part and they do it really well. You know, so I'm just running through. There are other brands out there. And they do it really well. But the ones that seem to get these kind of believers, like you guys are with Depot, and we meet them certainly meet them with Captain Fawcett, that they get that passion that the product company has filters into the owners and beyond. And it's not just out of pounds.
It's controlled.
It comes down to...
It's very controlled by them as well. Mm. So, you know, they met me, they asked a lot about what we were up to, where we were going with it and what we wanted to do. So I think a lot of the brands where they lose a lot of that is they just want to make so much money all the time. So they're putting it anywhere. Mm. You know, you've got products that you had only for salons that are now in Boots, or you get off on Amazon, you know, and when you're trying not to do that, you know, when you're having it as a specialized product and you can only get it here, you know, where you're coming into the shop and you can only experience that here or grab that here, makes it exclusive.
Yeah.
And I think people like that too. Mm. People like that too. So it's protecting the ethos behind the product brand as well. And also, you know, we love it. We do love it. Mm. And I think if you're going to take some home today, I'll give you some in a goodie bag, both of you. And I'd like you to take
some. I want what he's using.
stress free.
No, listen,
it doesn't have a company yet.
I do think it's just really interesting because I've had the conversation with brand companies and they're just kind of like, you know, how do we get it selling? But at the same point, you've got, we spoke a bit about Salt, which is a product range that I really like Salt and what they're doing and how they show themselves.
Mm, yeah.
And I am trying to get them on the podcast because I do really like what they're up to, and now it's expanding. And so I do think it's almost like the product companies need to remember who their customers are.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you've chosen that because you know what was going to fit in Diligence.
Yeah.
You know what Diligence customers were going to want.
Yeah.
So it ties it all together.
It ties it all in. It's
I think if
puzzle.
You're just signing up with Revlon or with L'Oreal or with Weller and you're buying whatever comes with that, it becomes harder, and it does need to be a way of these guys selling that ethos to you.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
And that's why when you see things like Salt that come out, and you're just kind of like, oh, you can see who that client base is. You can
branding see who is key, right? Obviously, the branding behind things, but it's also if somebody's using your product as a product brand, you know, especially like Depot, they look after us.
Yeah,
you know, they care. Mm. They really care about who's using their product, and also, you know, they want to teach you more and more and more and more. And when you go over there, it's amazing.
I mean, we've
been over there, me and Finn are about to go over there next month, and I've been over there plenty of times. And, you know, you're important to them. You're important to them. And I know that every brand doesn't have that money to maybe do that, but, you know, if they could do something of that or say, okay, hi there, they've come through the door and said, we got this product, we'd like to show you this. Okay, cool. Why don't they offer you to say, can we spend 3 hours with you and we'll get some pizza in and just talk to you, whatever, and just teach you a bit more about their product rather than just saying, give us a call if you want it and we will hope that you sell loads of it. Do you see what I'm saying?
It is trying to get, I think you're right, in our industry, certainly now, the interest from clients is much higher. You know, from hair care, skin care and beyond, but they're definitely much more aware of it.
Yeah.
Certainly aromas. You walk into this room, you walk into people's houses. You know, I was out for dinner with my missus the other day and a guy sat down behind me and I didn't even think, I turned around and went,
what are you wearing?
Mate, you smell
nice. Yeah, yeah.
And he was on a first date with this girl and she was like, I just thought that. And I'm like, oh man, my missus is like, shut
up. We get it when people walk past the shop.
You get used to this kind of...
We spray the room spray. So we have room spray. So when we're at, you know, we're up to Salon International at the end of next month and we're taking the products with us, we're going to spray the room. Mm. So people wonder and ask, and you know, we spray the door, spray it outside because people walk past and come in and they do.
They do
all the time. And the first thing when a new client comes in, it goes, smells amazing in here. But that's by, you know, with the product companies, we're not just, you know, we haven't just got the styling products, but the smells and things like that, guys want to know. Guys want to know.
No, it really does. I mean, we, you know, I've got this year, one of our stores has just been kind of taken over. A new manager has taken over there for us. And first thing she did was the diffuser came in, plugged in, lovely smell. And I just walked in and I was like, oh, just it's a room I want to be
then
in.
You associate that with being in that environment.
Yeah, and it was exactly that. I felt kind of clean, energized. And it does. I mean, like I say, if you're doing the kind of 100 units a week, that's what as every single barber I've spoken to would be absolutely jealous of that.
Yeah.
And so taking Depot out of it, because you know they're not all going to be able to get hold of it, and we don't want everyone to suddenly take Depot on. But you think the cornerstone for it is to have a product you believe in, really, I guess.
100%. Yeah. I mean, you get your favorite products as well, don't you? But when you believe in something, you start to, you know, you feel more comfortable with it and you live by it as well. And it oozes off you. You know, you're not selling as such.
Yeah.
You know, you're not sells selling itself. As such. Because I think that's it.
I mean, I always say that to my gang. It is a matter of, you're being an expert. Yeah. You're recommending and you're finding a solution for a problem.
It's easy to sell something you believe in. It's easy.
So I'm going to take this back to a classroom now. I don't know why I'm playing the piano. But if I've got, you know, if someone here listening is looking at their shelves and they've got, you know, 50 units of product sitting there and they know the last time they sold a wax was three Thursdays ago, What would you say to them? If you were going in, what would be your top tip that you've got a team of, say, three or four barbers, they've got a wall of product that's never sold. He looks at that and thinks, you know, I've got 700 quid sitting there.
Yeah.
I want to turn that round. How would you go about, let's do a little bit of a brief, you're used to doing your retail classes.
Yeah, try yours.
How would you go about it? You've got a room of people uninterested.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there on the wall.
I mean, I'd say first things first, obviously you've got to give your staff sort of some percentage, some incentive to want to sell that product. So obviously we've got that. So.
And what levels do you, I'm going to nail you again, I'm afraid. What percentage do they get of their product? So they're earning some money off of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is it? It's 10%?
Yes.
Yeah. About that. So, it's, you know, it doesn't sound like much, but once you're doing a lot of it and you're going through it, it's good. Yeah. And what it comes down to is
how you approach it. Make sure they're getting a piece of it.
Of course. Yeah. Otherwise, they're not really going to be incentivized to sort of sell it. And then from that, it's how you interact with the client about it. So if I've got a new client in my chair, so most of my clients are regulars, but if I have a new client in my chair, I'm almost certain they're walking out with a product just because of how you're going to talk about it. It's in the consultation. The first thing you do, what do you use to style your hair? And, you know, you ask that question. Oh, I use so-and-so brand. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to use something else today. This is one of our products, Depo. I think you're going to love it. It's going to work really well. And then that's it. You don't really need to push any more than that. You do your haircut.
And then you revisit it
at the end. Mm. You say, oh, so this is what I was talking about earlier. Oh, this is the charcoal paste. It won an award, which it did.
Which,
you know?
We did.
We put
one of our Depo products into the Hair Magazine Awards and you won the best texturizing product and they'd never heard of it before.
Yeah.
So, you know, we use things like that.
Yeah. And then smell this. Use it and how does that look? Have a feel. See whether you like it. And then, as Tom said, walk away from the client, go wash your hands, and you're going to see them.
You can see them from across the room, you know, looking at. I love that one because even when I've done a haircut on somebody, even before the product, you know, walking away from your client, sometimes you get more of an understanding of what they want. And when it comes to product and things like that, if you just let them look at it, just let them pick it up, just give them a second, and then you can come back and then you can talk about it again. Yeah. And, you know, when I sell product, I never have to say normally, oh, shall I, you know, you might say, shall I grab that for you? Or should we try that? You know, you're already there. I think people are scared when they're selling product that they're pushing it. Mm. But you've got to understand, most of your clients don't even know what grade they want on the side. And they're like 40 years old and they go, I don't even know what I have.
Yeah.
You know? But if you break it down, you know, if you're selling 100 units, so if I'm sitting there and I'm looking at a wall of products, if you're selling 100 units in a month, you're taking £2,000, average amount of 20 quid a pop. I'm sure it's more, but whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're doing £2,000 and all of a sudden that dusty wall is bringing you in £1,000 a month profit.
Yeah.
And then you're giving your guys a oneer of that.
Yeah.
That's just money sitting there. Yeah. And you've already committed to it because every single barber listening to this from their shop has done just what Luke just did, which is look at the wall of products they've got and think, oh, no one sells it. Yeah.
And I think another thing, I know it sounds silly, but another thing is, it looks like a wall of products, but we have a cupboard there as well that we only take product from. So, you know, we always try to keep it as that.
Leave it tidy.
Leave it tidy so people come in. So, and you know, when people come in, I think it's important where your product shelves are and things like that as well. So people can come in and have a little look. You know, we hand them the book, the brochure as well, so they can just flick through.
And do you think you being kind of, it sounds like that's definitely more one of your roles.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you think most shops should have someone whose role it is to be conscious of retail?
Yes.
If someone's really not doing any retail, to kind of oik him for a coffee and go, look,
100%.
Listen, man, everyone else manages to sell. Your clients don't hate it. It's you. Let's talk about this.
That is what it comes down
and
to.
You need someone in the shop to keep that passion going.
Yeah, and that is what it comes down to. And having, as we said, you know, having these nights and having these training sessions. Yeah.
Which we do regularly.
That's it.
And we also make it quite well known who's not selling the most product.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
No.
Which I know it sounds like that, but you know, we're all men. You know, so you can take
friendly
a bigger
competition.
Competition, you know, and we let people know, like, you know, Adam, you know, we don't set in front of clients, so it doesn't look like we're pushing, but at the end of the day, like, what did you sell today?
Yeah, no, we always.
What did you sell today?
I mean, I quite like that.
I've always wanted to be the best.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be
selling the best. We would always have this kind of first person that hit six products got the. There was a £20 note put on the table.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
And the first person to hit 20 to hit six products still got their commission.
Yeah.
But they got that £20.
Exactly.
Note.
We do that. We do that with a product.
Yeah.
So every now and then, if we're getting to the end of the month and I want to hit a certain number, you know, we all do it and we all go at it and we try and, you know, try and sell.
Well, I'm sure, I mean, hey, I know your guys are amazing and fabulous and that kind of stuff, but you got a problem, presumably.
A what, sorry?
You got a problem. You got to remind them.
Yeah.
If you just went, right, okay, we've done our little chat.
Talk to you in two months' time. Chat every morning.
It's a reminder. It's
constant.
I mean, that's just part of managing people, I think. You know, it's part of what we do here.
Yeah.
It's part of the brand. It's part of diligence. This is the product brand that we use, we love, and that's
it is a prod. Yeah. And you get the guys that aren't so kind, but you actually surprise yourself that once you do tell them that, like, we had a massive staff meeting about the other week, and it was a big subject with some of the younger guys that weren't doing it. I mean, and then my youngest guy comes through, hasn't been with the brand so long, and he sold like 7 or 8 in a
he
day.
He smashed it. Yeah.
And we were like, I know you. One thing, you've just proved to me you can do it. So I need that every day, please. And secondly, it's in there.
Yeah.
It's in the tank and you can do it. You know, you just need to open your mouth.
He was literally brand new and
he did. And he was like, of course. Yeah. And he was someone that goes a little bit quiet every now and then. But then when he starts talking and then he gets into it, he did. He sold 7 or 8 in one day. Like, and he was, you know, he's only been with us 3 months.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting. It'd be nice to get some feedback. If anyone's taken this on the chin and gone, right, guys, let's shift some of this gear off the wall. That's fascinating. But it is a recurring theme. And now if we dip back into team, so as you said, you started here with you two and Martin, did you say?
Yeah. Me and Finn and Martin, yeah.
So the three of you started, you're now 9. What are the dynamics changed? So again, I speak to a lot of guys who are kind of 1 or 2 in a shop and they're wanting to expand, and you know, their whole view is, yeah, we're going to open up more shops. And it's like, okay, how many more people can you fit in your shop? Can you, as you've done, wiggled the chairs around, moved things around, changed the wall. 9 people's a different bag than 3 of you having a chat, 3 of you having a pint at the end of the day going, you were amazing, you were a tosser, what's up with you?
Yeah.
9 people and it's, structure.
We're still working out. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, we are still working out because you had 3 people who would, you know, say we die for the company. You know, we're very in here, and we live by it. And then you have new people coming from other places. But I truly believe in here we do things differently. Mm. We do things differently in a such where you, a lot of the guys were working in a high street salon or high street barbers and things like that. When they come here, there's, you know, we're taking you guys out. We're treating people properly. You know, we're doing Christmas parties. And also, you're working in an amazing environment. Mm. I mean, to work in an amazing environment like this, where we came from, even where we came from, when we started working here, your work gets better. You care about your tools. You know, you're washing people's hair. You know, it's a lovely place to work. Yeah. So when you have a team and they know this stuff, they would never want to go backwards.
No.
So they you do get some sort of good treatment from them, but also you are cracking the whip on certain guys, and it's usually just younger guys. And I think that comes with maturity, and we're trying to teach that.
But with self-employed, is that difficult to kind of detain that, to kind of have those conversations?
Or
do you just not allow it to get in the way, and you just
because I think that there, you know, there might have been one comment once where someone said, I'm self, you know, and like that. And it's like, okay, then, okay, if you want that, take the day off tomorrow. You're not working.
Yeah.
You know, you take your client, I'll move them. Mm. And then soon, quickly, no, I need the day, mate. You know, and as soon as that, if that's how you want to be, then, you know, go then. But, you know, and that is something that we have to me by, but it doesn't come up a lot. It doesn't
Everyone here is, you know, gets on a good level.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all are all very friendly with each other. We all go, as Tom said, go out and go do things together. And it makes a massive difference. I've got so much love for everyone on the team. You know, yes, some people might give you shit from time to time, but I do have so much love for everyone on the team. And I think that they have a lot of love for me.
And I think, there's a lot to be gained from being in a team, though. I think there's a lot of guys that are doing it on their own in studios and so on, which is fine. But I do think you're missing out on a lot.
It's a lonely world doing things that way. When I was on, when I did have a bit of a transition when I left, you know, hairdressing, went into barbering, I was working on my own at home and I was doing loads of haircuts. I mean, lots. You know, I had a clientele. You know, even now, if I wanted to, I would do loads from my area. My area is over the other way. So, you know, when you're, you know, when you've got a team that's, you know, being able to listen to you and you're bringing people through, and they see that, especially the younger guys. So now we have, you know, Luke, who we've brought through. I think they stay invested because they look at him and think he's done that in a year. I could get there in a year. So that it brings the team closer and closer and closer. And then you've got somebody that wasn't so, you know, wasn't so experienced, but then he's turning around to them guys, go, keep with these guys, stick your head in there, keep on it, because you will get,
that's it.
And you know, it becomes like a hunger thing. And, I think
that builds a
better team,
you know,
as well.
People going more down that route of going to the studios and things like that and going out on their own and just doing it on their own. I personally don't think I could ever do that. I really like being part of the team and having that banter between people and the community of it. And, you know, you lean on other people. You talk to other people. I think it's so important.
It's a lonely world way as well, because obviously you're in your head a lot as well. I know you're speaking to clients throughout the day, but you don't hear other people's stuff going on. No. So when you're at home and you may have something going on in your head, you're on your own. Think about all day.
I think that's the bit.
It starts to become a bit of a mental health thing.
I think that's the bit. You can kind of do yourself some damage.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think also, certainly from a younger point of view, as yourself, you know, you found yourself exposed to going to do shows, going to do different events, going to do other stuff. That I do, I mean, you know, I'm an old man, I've got grown up kids, so I've done the parenting trap already. But you do kind of go, look, don't go down one cul-de-sac. No. You know, keep the, you know, when you, you know, the whole point of the start of your career is to get on the biggest, widest road you can and have a nosy down every side road first.
I'm at the moment with this brand and the direction we're going in. We did a photo shoot earlier this week. We're doing this today. We've got Salmon International next month. You know, these are all things that I know personally, if I was doing it on my own, I wouldn't be doing these things. Just because having the people around you and having that drive to then push you, I think it's really important. It really helps me. You know, Tom pushes hard, which is good.
In a way that I believe in him.
Yeah.
And I believe it, and I believe in every staff in here. But, you know, when you've got your younger staff that you're trying to teach these things to, they don't get it. And they might not get it for another year. I was very fortunate to have someone like Finn who was young that understood. You know, I said, if you do this now at your age, you're going to be way ahead of everyone else. You know, you got guys that just want to come in and do their bit and go out in the evening. I've been there. Done it. And I fully understand that. But if I can get it into them slightly earlier, that they can be at a certain, I mean, we've got Luke, I keep going back to Luke. You know, he doesn't want to do it, but we've got him on stage at Salmon International this year. And he doesn't feel like he's ready. He doesn't think he can do it, but I know he's ready.
Yeah.
And I know he can do it. And he came from, you know, just a high street barbers.
Well, I think that's the bit when you're in a team and you've got some mentoring, it pushes you past that. You know, I think, you know, when you're finding there's something you're scared of or fearful of, that's when you should do it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I always think, you know, these guys, every lunatic that's ever jumped out of an aeroplane with a parachute on, I don't know if you two have ever done it.
No, I haven't. Not planning on it.
You see them before they're on a plane, they're like that. And the fear and dread. And every single one of them, when they land, is like, that was amazing.
And that's what I've said to, I mean, Finn, I use you as an example.
Yeah.
I mean, he done it, you know, when I first put you on stage when we was at Barber Connect.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you feel, it's amazing.
Yeah. You feel so inspired to come back into your work life. That's the exciting stuff.
Yeah, you know, that's the creative boost side of adrenaline, and it helps you stay in love with what you're doing.
And that's really important.
We look at people like, you know, like we mentioned earlier, like Josh and Sam and people like this. And you know, I was even I was nervous at Barber Connect, and I had an amazing experience when Josh came on stage. And he wasn't meant to be on stage with me. I was asked to go on really quickly, and Josh came out the back and said, I'm going to come on stage. Yeah. Probably one of the best moments of my hairdressing career, because you always would want to be on someone on stage with someone like that. And it was my first time on the Modern Barber stage, and Josh came on. He knows me from before. And those are the things that you... As a hairdresser, it's not just salon stuff. It's about pushing your team to say, you can do that. Yeah. And I know you can. Yeah. And I think that brings us together and it brings us together more that we all believe in each other. That's as it. Well. Yeah. We all believe in each
Definitely.
Other.
Well, I can't argue, mate. I'm a big believer in team spirit. And I think the really nice thing chatting to you guys is that, you know, even as the boss, that you're being pushed along by your team. And I think, you know, I certainly love people I work with, because, you know, I do get to turn around and go, listen, guys, I'm having a really rough day today. Can someone else help me do this?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's really good to be able to.
Oh,
well, I think it's really, I know from men's mental health is certainly something that's important, for you guys and here. But, just to be able to have that someone around that you can reach out who gets it, because you work with them, they know it and they understand it. And I think, like I say, the way you set yourself up here, I really hope you get the success that you guys genuinely deserve. Guys, thank you very much. Really nice to talk about products with so much passion and to talk about team. I've really enjoyed my little trip to Guildford. Thank you very, very much.
I appreciate it.
I'll give you a little
goodie
bag.
We've been the Noble Barber. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Cheers.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.